Blog Talk Radio.
Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
It ain't over now. This could be the greatest night of our lives. But you're gonna let it be the worst. Not me! I'm not gonna take this!
Let's do it.
Rangers Fan Radio. And here's your host, Patrick McCullough.
It is Rangers Fan Radio, back again, Season 2, Episode 8. It's Thursday, March 24th, 2011. I am Patrick McCullough. It's good to be back. A couple weeks off to, I guess we said, attend to life. I think that's how we say it.
Yeah, it's, that was the term.
It's been a hectic couple of weeks for me, as it is for all college seniors this time of year. But, you know, it's all right, because guess what? Spring training is almost over, people. I'm here to be the bearer of good news. We're almost done with the Ides of March and on to the joy of April, and then it'll be the Ides of May, June, July, August until we get to September, October, and then, you know, it all goes on from there. But hey, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We do have a great show for you tonight. I want to go ahead and introduce the people that are joining me tonight. As always, to my left, Mr. Orr Moyal. Orr, I trust you're having a wonderful evening.
A wonderful evening and a wonderful day. I'm at the proverbial left, and I'm happy to be there. You know, hosting a show is fun, but you never really appreciate just how much goes into hosting, producing, screening calls, all that at the same time until you actually have to do it. So, Patrick, we're glad to have you back at the helm.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back. It's a tough job, but someone's got to do it, right? Yeah, exactly. All right, to my right, Mr. Sam Dowell. I can happily say Sam is gainfully employed. And he said to run home to get to us, but hey, he made it, and he made it on the show, and we're glad to have him. Sam, hopefully your day's only going to get better from here.
Hey, I get to go to bed at some point, so that's always a good thing.
Exactly.
You never realize how much you fully appreciate sleep until you're out of college and gainfully employed.
Oh, yeah. Over the summer.
You think coffee's a good friend your second semester? Or, I'm sorry, your last semester of college?
Yeah.
It's only a better friend whenever you enter the workplace.
No doubt.
You need it to last you most of the day.
No doubt. And you wonder why people have such bad coffee addictions. It's just, you just become a slave to the man, slave to the grind. You can't get out of it every day. So, as usual, it's the usual Rangers Fan Radio show. We got lots of stuff to go over tonight. As I said, spring training's winding down. There was some big news today. I would say the internet is, a buzz with the news of the day regarding the Rangers and their pitching staff. And we're gonna go ahead and get into that at some point. But I got to go over the other, you know, as we say, the BS to start the show here. The website is rangersfanradio.com. Twitter.com/rangersfanradio. The Facebook is facebook.com/rangersfanradio. If you want to email us, the email is rangersfanradio@gmail.com. Let's see, Sam was picking our artist of the day, and Sam picked the Black Keys, so Kevin Goldstein somewhere is happy because we're playing some indie rock. Although I'm sure, actually, no, I take that back. He's going to hate
they're
it.
They're not indie anymore, no.
Yeah, they're too mainstream. Never mind. So Kevin Goldstein still hates our podcast.
Yeah, he'll rip on us until we play some more punk.
We will never give in. All right, and we've kind of been teasing this. If you follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and a lot of you do, and if you exist at Lone Star Ball and things like that, you'll know that we kind of said there was a big announcement coming on the show, and there is. It's a little bit later in the show. I'll be welcoming on some friends of ours to talk about an event that's going to be happening next week that I am very excited about, that we've been invited to take a part in. And it's going to be it's a pretty big deal. And, you know, I'll say it right now up front, we owe it to you guys. It's y'all's support. It's all of the listeners who follow the show, talk about the show to their friends, that is the reason that we're able to take the show on the road and do some exciting things. But we'll get into that. We'll get into that later in the show. Again, it's going to be a fun little thing, and we hope you guys are excited to learn what's going on in Rangers fan radio world. But, you know, we got to go ahead and get started off, guys. And I think we'll just go ahead and we'll break out the big stuff to start, which is, you know, it's been the topic that we discussed on the last show. This show is, you know, was going to be aptly named To Start or Not to Start, and then this news broke today, and suddenly we're back at square one with just a shitty title. But The decision was made today that Neftali Feliz is going back to the bullpen. Not that surprising, I think. If you follow the Rangers closely, I don't think you're... Is that a boo, Azalea, or did somebody just say boo?
That was an unmute closely followed by a boo. It was quite cut off.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things that I'm sure you guys are going to have a lot to say. We've had a lot to say on past episodes. Everyone who's got a radio show or a blog or a column or a Twitter has been talking about it constantly. And God forbid that anybody listens to talk radio in the DFW area, because they've been talking about it too. You know, it's an interesting topic, mainly because I think it comes down to, what do you think makes the team better in May, June, July? Neftali Feliz starting or Neftali Feliz closing? And I think that was the decision that the Rangers have been weighing the last couple of days. And you know, I've got a viewpoint on it, but so do you guys. Or I'll go ahead and let you get started with just trying to figure out what this means. Like, why did this decision get made now?
Yeah, you know, when we entered spring training, I was of the belief that Feliz would be given every opportunity to start, but simply wouldn't have the stuff to convince anyone that he had the ability to be one of the five best starters in camp. I was proven wrong. I've gone on the record saying that I've been impressed with what Feliz has done this spring, and a lot of scouts have felt the same way. He's held his velocity to games. He's shown a third pitch, though, you know, how progressive it is has been called into question. And, you know, the breaking ball looks just as filthy as it did toward the last half of last year. The fastball is obviously as good as it's ever been. You know, it's an 80-grade pitch. Right now, I'd say, yeah, he's probably one of the five best starters in camp. That's something you could say with not certainty, but with a fair degree of confidence, because Tommy Hunter hasn't really impressed anyone. Matt Harrison's had his struggles and generally, you know, doesn't really look that different from the Matt Harrison we've seen through the extent of his time here. And Derek Holland's impressed, but then again, we've seen Derek Holland impress us in spurts before. And so how much can we really buy into that? With the absence of other options, Michael Kirkman, you know, crapping the bed, Dave Bush being very underwhelming, and Brett Tomko, one could easily say that Feliz is the best option out there to fill the fifth starter slot. And I'll go to Sam on this, because I know Sam's also very opinionated on this situation.
On Twitter that Dave Bush is starting tonight, so somewhere Big Steve is a happy individual. I don't like this move.
No Big Steve references on the show.
Optioning Kirkman today looks like the dumbest move in the history of the world, besides not giving Feliz a chance to start. Dave Bush has never been good. He will never be good. In fact, I think I'd almost rather watch Doug Davis start than Dave Bush.
Based on the Rangers watched Dave throw. Yeah.
Well, here's the question, though, Sam, and this is what we have to ask ourselves, and it's really probably the reasoning behind the Rangers' decision here. It's not about whether Neftali Feliz was one of the five best starters in camp. It's about whether the impact Neftali Feliz can have as a number five starter over a guy like Bush or Kirkman is bigger than he would as a closer over a, you know, having someone like Tadayama in the bullpen or O'Day in the bullpen with his struggles. I think that's the real question here, and that's the reason that the Rangers have actually kept Feliz where he is.
Now, but hold on, though. I have to challenge you on that, or that this thought process that O'Day has been bad, so we have to kick him out. Okay, so as Rangers fans, we always lament the Rangers organization for doing one thing consistently the same every single spring training, and that's they invite a guy to big camp who, going into camp, they wouldn't think would make the roster. He has an unusually good performance against single and double A players, and the Rangers go ahead and give him a spot on the 25-man, and inevitably they fail. So turning that around, you have a guy in Darren O'Day who has been consistently either very good or great for the Rangers the last 2 years or year and a half. Don't you think that just because he's had an off spring and he's been kind of working in the middle of the zone, that should that mean automatically, okay, he's off the roster, that's it, he needs to start in AAA?
Oh, I agree. I'm not demoting O'Day, but I'm saying that elevating his role right now, putting him in more high-leverage situations, is dangerous based on what we've seen. Let's put it this way. Before he came to the Rangers, he wasn't seen as a legitimate big league late-inning option. He was released by the Mets. Anybody could have picked him up. The Rangers did. It's worked out. But he's always been a fringy guy with fringy stuff who made it work through deception and having an arm slot that people weren't really able to pick up on. Now, if he's lost his release point, if he doesn't get the spin that he needs, if there's at any point a question when the ball leaves his hand of where it's going, the stuff's not good enough for major league hitters to consistently fail in hitting that ball a long way or just sitting back on it and watching it sail outside the strike zone. Darren O'Day has a lot less room for error than most people. And if he's got mechanical problems, then there's a very legitimate shot that he is a double-A, triple-A pitcher right now. Now, can he rediscover that? Oh, absolutely he can. I think 2 months from now, we'll likely be looking back at this with a degree of skepticism. You know, why did we doubt Darren O'Day? He's been very good for us over the past 2 years, and as we saw, this is all just blown over. But there is that chance, you know, not a huge chance, but a fairly substantial chance of at least, you know, 30%, I think, that O'Day's struggles are very real. That his fastball is easy to see, that his slider isn't sliding it like it should, and that he's legitimately going to have struggles getting big leaders out. I'm not saying demote him. I'm saying let's exercise a little caution here.
Well, we also have to remember that, you know, it takes side armers a little bit longer to find their arm slot because they start throwing normally like everybody else. And, you know, from what I've heard, one of my friends was a side armer, and, you know, he had to change his arm slot every year because, you know, you gain muscle mass, things change. So I think we're seeing a little bit of struggles of that. I don't think he's injured because I think it would have shown itself by now if he was injured. And I read somewhere that, you know, he's still struggling with his arm slot. So I'm not worried about O'Day as much as I am Hunter.
Who was hurt today?
Yes. I mean, Hunter has just been getting lit up the entire spring training. And maybe that's not cause for concern. Maybe he's working on some stuff. But, you know, it's one thing to have a couple struggles here and there, like CJ has and like Colby has. But to, you know, be rocking a 10 ERA, well, I think it's almost 11 now, the entire spring is not a promising sign. And, you know, yep. Got some guys, Nelly, you know, slow start, that's fine. But somebody who's got as such high praise as Hunter does right now, I'm more concerned, but him getting hurt today obviously doesn't make matters much better. It just means somebody like Dave Bush, Seth McClung, who nobody knows what happened to, he's going to get it.
He was too fat. He got shipped down.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that he got shipped down.
Yeah, no, Brett Tomko is the NRI, you know, leading candidate to make the roster.
I'd rather see Tomko make it than Dave Bush.
God.
Dave Bush lost more people than Kirkman does at AAA.
I hear the name Brett Tomko, and I just get such extreme tired head. Like, everyone more underwhelming that's ever been on this roster outside of Matt Cotta.
Hey, you watch it. Don't say shit about Matt Cotta. God.
These aren't Matt Cotta's Rangers anymore.
That's right. That guy's like a folk hero. What are you insulting him for? Come on.
He's a meme.
Know where your loyalty's like.
No, but this is kind of just typical Rangers, I guess. I mean, we shouldn't be that surprised by any pitching moves in spring training. I mean, we're so used to, well, we're going to have two crappy guys make the rotation. Let's see, Jason Jennings and Chris Benson, come on down. It's weird to think that we're going to have maybe some consistency in the rotation and not have a guy that wasn't in the organization the year before pitching. And we maybe still get to see that this year. But
Okay, so let's
I forgot Chris Benson existed. Holy crap.
Yeah.
You have that guy?
Yeah.
2009.
There's always that guy. Like I said, there's always that guy during spring training who they overvalue his performance, and he starts off the year with the team, and it's like, yeah, it's like five wasted starts, you know? That's what it always is. It's five wasted starts.
And then a bullpen stint before they finally get rid of you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we can rescue him in the bullpen. Let's do this. Let's try this game here. I'm going to go through, and I'm going to name what I think are the top five Ranger starters. And you guys, when I name each one of them, just, you know, agree or disagree, yay or nay on this one. And let's see where we slot each one of these guys in. Not necessarily who it should be or who you want it to be. Just top five starters if you had to rank them on a talent scale. All right. Number one. I'd say we're probably a CJ Wilson number one fan.
Yeah.
Well, no, one A. We'll say, yeah. We'll call him 1A.
Sure.
Colby Lewis 1B.
Yeah. Sure.
We're gonna go the Dutch Oven number 3.
Okay.
You have confidence.
I'm gonna have to go Matt Harrison 4.
The ambivalent, but that's the best we got right now.
Yeah.
Do we? Is Neftali Feliz? Would he be 5?
Yes.
Yeah. Without question right now, yeah.
Better than Brett Tomko, better than Dave Bush, Tommy Hunter.
I think if you asked this question before Tommy Hunter's injury, you maybe have him and Hunter slated equal, simply because we're not quite sure about all of Neftali's pitches. But with Tommy Hunter going down with a groin strain, without a question, he is our fifth best starter.
Okay, here's the thing about Tommy Hunter, though. I think he came into the spring a lot more confident about having a spot than a guy like Tomko or Bush would be. So while they'd be pitching to get outs, Hunter's more likely to be working on his stuff. So, that may be part of the reason the results weren't necessarily there numbers-wise. But, you know, when you talk to the Ranger coaches, I mean, you didn't hear them really display any lack of confidence in Hunter. What you heard was basically the company line. We haven't decided anything. But you didn't hear anyone decry Hunter's performance. This wasn't a Kirkman situation where they sent him down after one bad start, you know? They had confidence in Hunter. And
credit,
I mean, he had some struggles. But if you look at the strikeout-to-walk ratio, it was actually very good this spring. There was some – obviously, he was leaving some balls up. He was letting some balls get hit very hard. But that's what Tommy Hunter does. In general, I don't think he was really pitching any worse than he normally does. He just got burned, and he was working through some stuff.
Well, and didn't we hear reports that Tommy Hunter had found his strikeout pitch again?
No, of course. But you'll always
start to miss a lot more bats.
Yeah, we heard that at least 3 times last year.
That was the game he was working on his curveball and not just his two-seamer, you know, and that's why he was striking guys out, because he was using his out pitch and he wasn't just solely throwing fastballs, you know. This is spring training. He's going out there to do his work. He has a plan every game of what pitch he's going to focus on and what he's going to do, and the batters he's facing are going up there with one purpose: hack. If it's in the strike zone, I'm going to swing at it. You know,
yeah,
it's not the major leagues. Mm-hmm. Nobody's working counts, you know. No one's going up there to try to make a great at bat. They're just trying to get a hit. They're just swinging the bat, you know. And the defense has not exactly been stellar behind any of the starting pitchers, especially Tommy Hunter. And you know, he's going to make the rotation. I mean, I don't want to say that actually. I would actually wouldn't be surprised if they put him on the DL to start the year to give him a chance to go down to AAA or AA and get some rehab starts. Give Brett Tomko and Dave Bush a chance to pitch. They'll probably split a couple starts. To figure out which guys worth keeping around. Dave
Would you
Bush,
keep them both on the roster then?
Well, yeah, one is the long man, one is the five man, and they switch starts. I mean,
interesting.
Just
the guy we're forgetting is Brandon Webb, but he's starting the year on the DL regardless.
I'm not forgetting him. He's been forgotten.
I mean, but where do you rank him, though? Him or Kirkman?
If he gives you 5 starts, it's gravy. There's no way to know what Brandon Webb will give you right now.
Yeah.
Brandon Webb could be Brandon Webb, and Brandon Webb could be Brandon Webb. And
right now,
that seems like a silly thing to say, but
yeah.
Brandon Webb for the past 2 years has been just non-existent. He hasn't pitched.
Yeah, he can't pitch. You can't rank a guy. I mean, right now he has a talent level of 0. I would take a high school pitcher over putting Brandon Webb on a mound right now, right this
David season. Clyde?
David Clyde's like 60 now, so I'm not sure about that. But
okay, well, let's do this. We'll take Nolan over Brandon Webb right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Nolan could throw 82 for an inning.
He could throw 82 for 15 innings. He's Nolan.
Yeah, that's what the folklore is. I don't think that's the fact. But anyways,
folklore and truth are the same thing with Nolan.
Exactly. And we're going to talk about, I'm going to talk about that whole situation a little bit, because that news broke after the show, the last show that we did. We didn't really get a chance to get into it. And seeing as we've been friends of Chuck, this show has been friends of Chuck for since August. What are you thinking about?
We had an hour-long interview with him before anybody else did.
Yeah.
We were in on Chuck early. Hour-long interview.
Of all the shows, if you take all of the blogs, all of I think there's technically three podcasts that count, and then, you know, the local radio shows, in terms of total minutes, he did more with us than he did with anybody else.
We should get a ring.
to Chuck Reamer Chamber. Let's go ahead and talk about it now. Let's take a break from the player stuff, because I want to hear y'all's opinions about it, and then I'm going to break down some walls. But so this whole thing broke. If for people who don't follow the Rangers, and I know there's some baseball fans who listen to our show, you know, this is the basic thing. Chuck Reamer was brought in with Nolan and some investors to win the Rangers over. He was kind of the lawyer and the businessman who got the ink to dry on the paper. That was it. Nolan really didn't do much except for shake Pastelic's hand and say, hey, by the way, don't forget that I'm the guy you want with this team. And that's what got this deal done. And he brought in the money also. People keep reminding us of that fact. But
yeah.
He won the auction. He went after the fans. He won the fans over and before he even got the team. He was always very vocal, very public. He seemed to be pushing an agenda in the Rangers front office to change some things and to get the Rangers to be a little bit more proactive in the community. Mostly positive stuff. And then we wake up, or I guess it happened about midnight or 1 a.m., Chuck Greenberg is going to resign tomorrow. And I think it was a Friday or a Thursday. It was a Friday morning. And it was
literally the day after I had knee surgery. My friend that currently is starting his official job with the Rangers Monday texted me Thursday night. I was already in bed.
Yeah, it was
1:20 in the morning he texted me, Greenberg's resigning.
And it was shocking, and there's some stories that have come out that, you know, he was trying to get too involved in player negotiations. He was maybe Nolan had been irked by him and Thad going to talk to Cliff Lee for a third time. That essentially Nolan had drawn a line in the sand and gone to the big money guys in the ownership group and said, hey, he's doing a job that he hired five other people to do right now, and he's not really working anymore since he hired them. Our management styles clash. It's either going to be you keep me and I run this ship, or you get him and he runs it and I leave. And they said, okay, yeah, we'll take you. And they said, here, Chuck, here's $25 million, and we'll talk to you later. And that was it. And he's made one public comment about it, and it was on Facebook, and it was three sentences long, and that's it. And he wrote off into the sunset, and he didn't say a word about it. I kind of want to get your reaction. We've talked a little bit this on the side about this, but just kind of how shocked were you about it, and what are your overall feelings about how this whole thing went down?
Well, I'll put it this way. I was drinking with some friends when the news came down. I get a text from my friend Kevin, who was actually with us on the show 2 weeks ago, and it says, have you heard about this whole Chuck thing? He said, what do you think about this Chuck thing? And so I'm very confused at texting back, what Chuck thing? What happened? Did he get another fight with the Yankees ownership? Did he convince the Phillies to trade Cliff Lee back to us like they tend to do with Cliff Lee? They trade him. He texts me, Chuck Greenberg's quit or been forced out. And at that point, I look at everybody around me and just unexplainedly, without offering any context to anyone, just go, what the F? Except I sort of stretch out the F into a bigger word. There is nobody I know, absolutely nobody, who saw this coming, who didn't have insight within the organization. I think, yeah, the only logical hypothesis that we can arrive at through what happened is that he just got too involved. You know, Greenberg's a guy who had $5 million of a vested interest in the Rangers, and he tried to exert the authority of a Ray Davis or Bob Simpson, someone who actually has the ability to hire and fire people, someone who has the ability to go out there and say, we're getting Adrian Beltre, whether you like it or not. We're paying $200 million for Cliff Lee, whether you like it or not. And we're also going to fight the Yankees whenever we want to. Greenberg knows PR. Greenberg knows how to appeal to people. He is a very, very savvy businessman. He's a very, very smart person, and he's excellent at communicating with people. Problem is that that was also the cause of his demise here, because he wasn't able to hold himself back. He was too proactive, and I think that, you know, a lot of people got their feelings hurt about that. A lot of people felt like they were being forced into a role that was smaller than they'd anticipated earlier. And while Nolan Ryan's not necessarily the guy who's going to go out there and he's going to, you know, he's going to powwow with the fans and he's going to go out there and he's going to buy video boards and he's going to appear on internet radio shows, he is team president. He's part CEO. He's the face of the franchise. And when people talk about Chuck Greenberg like he's the redeemer, and people talk about Chuck Greenberg like he's the guy who's going to solve everybody's problems and he's the guy who really initiated everything here, that may be true to an extent, because he played a role in gathering the ownership. But I don't really doubt for a moment that Nolan's feathers were a little ruffled by the attention Greenberg was getting, and he was a little put off, probably more than a little put off, by how proactive Greenberg was in situations where they might, where his proactivity might have actually hampered what was in the best baseball sense for the club.
Yeah, I mean, there's one rule of thumb living in Texas, is you don't make oil men with money mad, and you sure as heck don't mix oil men and lawyers. And I think that's what it came down to. Greenberg's a lawyer. He doesn't like being told what to do. He's the one that typically does the telling people what to do. Oil men never like being told what to do. I don't care if they're small oil men or multi-millionaires, almost billionaires. They don't like being told what to do. And given the quietness of some of the ownership, mainly Simpson, kind of looking, according to some people I knew who were at the auction who looked like Santa Claus, those guys like that typically don't like publicity. They like to do things quietly. We've heard rumors that, you know, he was the one that donated, $250 million to Baylor or something like that, but it was an anonymous donation. Or was that Davis? So, I mean,
one of the two. It's just $250 million. Who cares?
Yeah.
No one keeps track of that.
I mean, yeah. But, I mean, guys like that, you know, don't like being told what to do. And, you know, we'll never know the whole story on Greenberg. And we probably shouldn't. But, you know, you have two very strong-willed groups of people, and then you have Nolan Ryan, who is a strong-willed group on his own.
Mm-hmm.
Without Chuck Greenberg, the Rangers do not belong to the current ownership group, I don't think. I think Greenberg was the straw that put the ball closer to the Nolan Ryan side of things.
Too many metaphors.
Sorry. Oh, boy. That could go south in a hurry. Needs
the
more
stir
of this.
That drew the ice with the basketball.
Needs more of this thing. But, sorry. But, I mean, there's just, I don't know. It was kind of a weird deal. Nolan's not going to go do the whole PR thing. He'll be on the radio. He'll talk about snow monkeys. He'll poke fun at snow monkeys and being on a council, which I don't know if that was legitimate or not.
He's been on the ticket several times since then and confirmed that story, but yeah.
Okay, but yeah, I mean, Nolan is a good old boy. Simpson and Davis are good old boys. Greenberg is from Pennsylvania. There is a clash of egos there. You have the lawman from technically the North, in a way, and two outlaw oil men and a Texas rancher in some people's minds is what Nolan is now, in a beef man. You know, that I can't think of more of a recipe for mixing oil with water, pardon the pun, but for things to go south. And at times things just seem too good to be true. And I think that's what we ended ultimately seeing.
I think it was probably, you're right, it was probably too much to ask Motley Crue and the Teletubbies to get together and get along. You know, it just, it,
That mental picture will send people screaming for cover.
Hey, it's okay.
I don't know what to think anymore.
Maybe more Guns N' Roses, less Motley Crue.
Guns N' Roses are so they were so hardcore to start, and then they're just so lame, you know. Like,
yes, now they play with the Black Eyed Peas on Super Bowl halftime shows.
And I hate that Slash has made it that way for the whole band, but he has. Like, you know,
Axl
Rose is just as much of a sellout.
I'm going down this road, and I'm taking you all with me, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
That was the basic gist.
Yeah, that's a whole other discussion, but yeah.
I would like to point out, Patrick, that we now have had Sam saying Beastman, and we need to pull that audio and use it in future episodes.
Beastman. No, okay, so I feel like I've become the staunch defender of Chuck Greenberg on a number of local blogs, as well as to anybody who brings the topic up to me. And let it be said that 24 hours after that news came down was, I didn't say much to anybody. And 24 hours after that, I was just still, I'm still pissed. I'm not going to let this go. If I was going to, the first game I go to this year, I'm bringing a sign. We want Chuck back. And I have no shame in holding that up, because I'm still a fan of the Rangers. I'm not a fan of Nolan Ryan. I'm now not a fan of the billionaires who bought this team from Tom Hicks. I'm still very happy about that. But here's the thing. So I have some points I want to talk about that, or you just brought up, and then we can go to break here in a minute. But, you know, Sam, I think you hit the nail on the head, and I'll put it another way. Say, you know, Nolan Ryan had partnered with that guy who was the sports agent from L.A., I forgot what his name was, that was trying to get in on this whole sales thing.
Oh, it wasn't Crane.
No, it wasn't Crane. It was a former agent. Yeah, Dennis Gilbert. Say, he had gone with him, and he said, you bring this, I've got my money, guys, you head the group, you know, we'll go from there. And say Chuck Greenberg instead partner with Mark Cuban, which would have been a ridiculous duo, by the way. Mark Cuban would own this team. And I'm not saying that would be better. I'm just saying that would have happened. If Chuck Greenberg had been hired by Jim Crane and had done this job for him, Jim Crane would own this team. I have no doubt about
that. Nolan Ryan, if that happened.
Right.
Let's keep that in mind.
Right. No, I'm not saying I would rather have those things happen. I'm making the point that people say, well, Nolan Ryan brought the money guys together. Well, okay, no. Chuck Greenberg went to those guys and said, hey, guess what? Nolan Ryan is going to stay part of this team and is going to be the head of this organization as president if you sign on with our group. And they said yes. They said yes to Nolan. I do see that there's a parallel there. But Chuck Greenberg was the ultimate uniter. And he was also the fighter. He fought Tom Hicks so that Nolan didn't have to do it, so that Nolan could still be team president while his boss was in a legal fight over ownership of the team that he was trying to buy.
Sorry, Dallas Stars fans.
Yeah, exactly, right? They're still stuck with that hellhole. But anyways, you know, it is so easy to forget. It is so easy to forget that less than, what is it, it's not like 8 months ago practically, that everyone was singing Chuck Greenberg's name in the street. Not Nolan Ryan's name. Chuck Greenberg's name. And then 8 months later, he essentially agrees to leave when his boss is probably telling him, you need to leave or we're firing you. So, you know, either take $25 million or get fired. You know, he's getting forced out and everyone, okay, whatever. You know, Nolan Ryan's still here. He makes our pitchers throw more pitches. That's good. You know, we're gonna win the World Series because our pitchers aren't pussies like they used to be back when.
Yes, they throw long toss now.
They play long toss, which, by the way, the entire baseball community is split on as to whether or not it's effective for pitchers to play long toss. But anyways, it's shocking to me how quickly, I shouldn't say shocking, it's not, how quickly people are willing to just dismiss everything that he did to rescue them from the hole that they cried their little butts off for years and years and years about. And just say, oh, whatever, it's okay. No, okay. Yeah, too bad. Oh, Chuck, you should have listened to Nolan more. You know, you shouldn't have, you know, he shouldn't have sold the suite that was supposed to go to John Daniels. Yeah, you know, he shouldn't have. Is that really a good reason to fire somebody? No, it's not. I guarantee there's another suite somewhere in the freaking stadium that John can have. You know, should he have gone one more time with the assistant general manager and the money man to go meet with Cliff Lee and say, hey, we may have been lowballing you before, but we're willing to go all in right now. Biggest offer on the table. Should he have done that? Why not?
Track the, We could have tracked the plane if it was going there for sure.
We did track the Big Steve. Oh, we can't have Steve reference.
There you go. Know. You made the reference now. Don't bitch at me.
You know, it's these are little things. These are little things. I hate when people make these excuses like, oh, he got in people's faces and he was clashing with their styles. You know, John Daniels and Nolan Ryan didn't get along for years. That's been well documented by Randy Galloway, who, as we all know, is essentially Nolan Ryan's voice to the DFW community. That works fine, and they worked it out. They figured out how that relationship's going to work because he realized that having John there was the best option. So what's clear to me, with all this coming together and knowing how that relationship formed to Nolan and John's, it's clear to me that Nolan made a decision, which is Chuck is not that important to this team. He did his job, which is he got me my baseball team. Now he needs to leave because I don't like him. And, you know, we have guys here that can do his job. I don't doubt that, and I'm glad they're there. I'm glad that they hired in the guy who worked for the Red Sox that helped advance revenue streams. You know, I'm glad they brought in the VP of Ops from the Round Rock Express, who's great, and he's worked in baseball for a long time. You know, I like those guys. But, again, your team is best when you keep all of your best chips in the pot and you don't fold your hand or you don't throw things out just because you feel like you should or you have to. You never have to. 8 months is not long enough to formulate a relationship. It's not. That was a bad decision. And it was an egotistical decision, which we should understand. It's Nolan Ryan. That's what he does. He
we have to remember, this lasted longer than most Hollywood marriages. So it was a success in some people's eyes.
Yeah, probably. But it's just like the guy spent like 2.5 years of his life winning you a baseball team. He buys a multimillion-dollar house in DFW, moves his family down here, commits himself fully. You give a relationship 8 months? That's the amount of patience you have is 8 months? That's pretty pathetic.
Yeah, it doesn't seem fair to me until I consider the fact that Greenberg probably made his way out here with a pretty substantial early termination fee. So.
Yeah, he did. He probably, you know, I've heard $25 million, but there's a luxury tax on that, so it's probably a little under 20. But, you know, would he rather have his job making $1 million a year and working for the team that he spent a good part of his life, essentially? Because it's not just 2.5 years. Imagine the amount of life that took off of him, the amount of stress and work that he did. You know, is it worth it? And then, we talked about Chuck has been a good friend of ours on the show and has been always willing to come on here and talk and willing to answer any question we ask, which is, I can't say the same for some of the beat writers we've had on the show. You know, to lose that voice to the community is huge. And like you guys said, Nolan Ryan's not going to do that job. And what's that freaking guy who posted on Lone Star Ball? What's his name? Skippy Davis or whatever his name is. Whatever, we'll call him Skippy Davis. I like that better. That guy. You think fans really are going to care what he says?
Herbie. It was Herbie Pilata?
Herbie Hancock. I don't know.
Herbie Hancock, you
think he cares? And people don't care. It was important when Chuck Greenberg sat next to you in the center field outfield seats. Because he actually listened to you, or at least he put on the Mirage that he did. That mattered. People cared. You think if Herbie, whatever his last name is, goes and sits in the outfield bleachers and sits down somebody and says, hey, my name is Herbie. I work for the Rangers. I want to talk to you about your fan experience. That person's going to say, screw off. It's hot as hell out here. I don't want to talk to you. They're not going
to
care.
That's no offense meant to Herbie. I'm sure he's a very nice guy, but that's, you know, there's a position between the owner coming up there and doing that. And a man who's assigned to cover social media for the team doing that.
Right. Okay, I got a couple quick things, and we got to go to break. Or you said you thought he was too involved, that was one of the reasons. Again, you name the guy CEO of the team, and he essentially is the guy who wins the team for you. When does the involvement, should it stop, really? I'm not saying he makes the decision or that he should even have a vote, but what part of the team should he not be involved in?
Problem is that he was actually putting his input in places where, for an office portions of the organization.
Yeah, and he should have done that. Yeah, and we've talked, and we said that that he shouldn't have done those things. But again, we, you know, at what point is too far? You said $5 million involved. Randy Galloway has come out and said that the actual figure for Nolan and Greenberg is just under $1 million of cash.
Really?
Yeah, just under $1 million for both, but they had 5% in equity. That was their investment. You know, and this proactive thing and whether or not Nolan's going to do it and what role Herbie's going to play. You know, I'm not saying that Rangers are not going to be hurt by this. You know, they're not. I don't think this has any effect on the on-field performance. My point here is that let's take it from Chuck Morgan's perspective. Chuck Morgan's been on the show, what, two or three times now? I think three. Every time we've talked to him, we always ask him, talk about Chuck Greenberg, because we admire him. And every time, he has nothing but the greatest things to say about Chuck Greenberg. And I believe it to be genuine, not just, you know, I feel like I should praise my boss, but, like, literally, this guy's a good friend. He listens to people. He's a wonderful boss. We love working for him. You know, and I think that it's just taking that from the guy who is the most tenured Rangers employee right now, it's just, it's hard to see this decision as being a positive for the Rangers organization. It's not going to have an effect on the team. It's hard to see it as being a positive. It's pretty.
Young won't lose any sleep over it, so we've got one guy covered.
Right. Yep, he's not losing sleep. That guy sleeps like a baby. Yeah, all right. Let's talk.
And if, you know, if anybody does step into that role, by the way, I do believe that would be Chuck Morgan, because he's sort of been filling that role for years now.
Yeah.
And that guy, I mean, if there's a nicer guy in DFW, I don't know him.
Nope.
Chuck Morgan is the consummate professional, and his life is about making Ranger fans happy.
When you think of people who've been associated with the Rangers the longest, not on the field, who do you think of? You think of Chuck Morgan and Eric Nadell.
Yep.
And, you know, to me, that's who it is. Nolan's there, but in terms of just the hardcore live and die by the team through the putrid early aughts, I mean, that's who you think of. And by no means was I, you know, disregarding anything Chuck Greenberg has done.
Right.
I love Chuck. He got the Rangers out of Tom Hicks and got Nolan involved. And, you know, maybe there should have been a bit longer of a period of, you know, feeling things out, figuring things out. And maybe there was, and we didn't know about that. It could have been a brash decision, but, you know, we will never know. We can remember the Chuck Greenberg era by one thing. He got the Rangers into the right ownership hands of a group of people that care about the team and want to put a winning product on the field and will keep putting money into scouting and development of players, as well as retaining the talent we have and going and signing the major talent we need to improve while we wait for that prospect to come up.
Yeah. Let's end on this. I think we can all agree on this one point. If someone is not already doing it, there needs to be a movie made about the last year. 12 months ago from now up until when Chuck Greenberg was fired, there needs to be a movie made. I totally think so. And Robert Redford.
Jones plays Nolan.
Who's... Have we done this before? Did we already cast this whole role?
We did this with Chuck, actually.
We did, that's right. We did with God. And now, you see, now I just feel sad. You know, he's the only guy on the show who's ever gotten his own intro song.
We should play that in homage one day.
You know what? Let's play it right now in homage.
Let's play him out. All right, Sam, real quick, we're way past break time. Give the people the URLs.
All right, the website is rangersfanradio.com. Twitter is twitter.com/rangersfanradio, and the Facebook page is facebook.com/rangersfanradio. Check us out there, updates, random Rangers blurbs, other sports notes, random things we find humorous. Y'all know where it's at. Y'all know how to get in contact with us. Our links to our websites are there. Links to other interests are there. So check us out.
I don't know if I heard of it. The email is rangersfanradio@gmail.com. Or tell the people real quick, give them a quick tease on what we're talking about coming back from the break.
Yeah, we're going to give everybody our 25-man roster previews. We've all got a few opinions on who is coming, who is staying, who is going. We're going to talk about Tommy Hunter's injury and what the Rangers are going to do to fill that void. And discuss a potential talking point of, you know, the one that's going to impact this team's course greatly. Do the Rangers have the best defense in baseball?
Yeah, of course. Is that even a question? Come on. This is Rangers Fan Radio, not we're trying to judge Major League Baseball. All right,
get more
right
on the ball, Dorn.
We don't get to see that anymore, and I'm saddened by that.
It's true. We don't. God damn it. Okay, so we're headed to break. As we said before, Sam picked the music today. It's the Black Keys. As always, we do songs between breaks. The first song is the Black Keys. I think it's a pretty famous song, Girls on My Mind, from Rubber Factory. But as we said just a couple minutes ago, let's go ahead and pay homage to Chuck G, the great the one, the only, Greenberg, the guy who saved the Rangers. We'll be right back on Rangers Fan Radio Live.
Anderson going back. He's on the track. He's at the wall. That ball is history.
Now back to Rangers Fan Radio Live with your host, Patrick McCullough.
And we're back on Rangers Fan Radio Live.
With more music Kevin Goldstein hates.
I think we should just make a pact that we every show we should mention that we're going to play music that Kevin Goldstein hates.
And we need to have a segment where we just name things that Kevin Goldstein hates.
Yeah, because we'll never run out. It's pretty endless.
Pitchers with low velocity.
Yeah.
Things that aren't dogs.
Texas.
Middle infielders that don't hit for power.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Elvis, you have a right to fix that.
Oh, we can do things that we hate about Kevin Goldstein. He has an earring. Did you guys know that? He has an earring.
I don't hate Kevin Goldstein, though. I love Kevin Goldstein and all his opinions.
I love Kevin Goldstein, but the things I hate about Kevin Goldstein.
Yeah, he's a personality though.
He doesn't he doesn't like the Black Keys. We can put that.
He doesn't. We need to confirm this. I'm going to tweet Kevin Goldstein asking for his opinion on the Black Keys because it's going to tear me apart now.
All right. While you do that, it's time to talk about the Rangers 25-man roster. I mean, we're literally down, you know, to 1 week tomorrow. Yeah, 1 week until opening day. Thank God. And I think we've pretty much got it lined up. Let's go over the obvious ones, and then we'll get into to maybe the more particulars, which is really the bullpen. The starters, I think, in the field are set. We'll go the 25-man opening day starting lineup. Tori Alba catching, Moreland at first. Kinsler, actually, take that back. Are we thinking Napoli's gonna start at first, maybe? Either Napoli or Young?
No, I want Moreland.
You want Moreland starting against a lefty?
Really?
I'm sorry. I don't buy into this thing that he's going to be a terrible hitter against lefties. I mean, I don't either, but... I think he might struggle a little bit, but I think at least give him a nod for the performance he had at the end of last year and in the playoffs. I realize that's kind of the Feldman treatment, but I think Moreland has earned the right to at least have a chance to start against him. I think, and if he wipes out, that's fine. I'll take the hit there, but...
If he's there, what's the purpose of having Napoli and Young on the roster?
Right, exactly. That's the reason is you have to justify that trade in this whole thing. And we may have some breaking news in just a couple of minutes to talk about the justification of, you know, Michael Young, this, that, and the other. But I think the Rangers would say we got to do it just for the fact that why have Napoli and Young in the roles that they're in if they're not going to play against a lefty and Moreland's going to sit? I mean, opening day might be the one exception, right? Because it's opening day. But
yeah.
Kinsler second, Elvis shortstop, Beltre third. Did I say you were catching? Yeah, okay. One of either Moreland, Young, or Napoli DHing at first base, just in general. Cruz and right, I think they'll probably go Hambone center, Murphy left for opening day. The bench would have Julio Borbón, one of Mike Napoli, Mitch Moreland, or Michael Young, Matt Traynor, and Andres Blanco. I don't think there's any arguments from you guys on any of those items.
No, not roster
or Craig Gentry.
Craig Gentry. Please, God, no.
Craig Gentry's the guy you give up here. Forbone is so absolutely useless that you have to send him down.
Hey, right now, does anybody wish we would have thrown together a package for Grady Sizemore and Fausto Carmona now?
Well, if I were at all convinced that Sizemore isn't made of, you know, China, then yeah. Otherwise, though, I mean, it's just, you know, it's whatever. It's one of those hypotheticals that's real nice, but I don't know how much you can really bank on Sizemore right now.
Oh, I mean, yeah, no question, but I just wonder if he was ever available even.
Sizemore is what you hope any center field prospect becomes. At his height, he was phenomenal. Yeah.
Well, you know, and let's go ahead and talk about this real quick, about trading people. It just, let's see, when was this posted? 7:45, about 8 minutes ago. T.R. Sullivan posted on his Top 100 Major League Baseball blog, and if you're not reading postcards from Elysian Fields, you should, which is trsullivan@mlbblogs.com. But he just had a post that says that John Daniels and Michael Young have met a couple times over the spring, have had what John Daniels has said are productive conversations, and that Daniel said he regrets how things went and there should have been better communication, that he regrets that Young got a lot of criticism. He says undeserved criticism. I think we'll have things to say about that. But and he says he hasn't ruled out trading it, but he doesn't think that it's going to happen by opening day, which tells me, again, we're still going to try to trade this guy if we can, but there's not anything on the horizon right now. Does that change anything in y'all's minds, this whole where now Michael Young and John Daniels are at least on speaking terms and we can move forward, or is it the same dynamic?
It does a little bit. You know, I may just be the sucker here, but this could be the turning point to where I'm not necessarily convinced that Young and Daniels actually feel any differently about each other, but this is the point where the management acknowledges, hey, we're not getting anything for this fool. It's time to mend the fences and go about our business. And so they waited until they got to the point where it was very clear that they weren't going to get a decent package in return, and then just said, you know, F it, we're keeping Michael Young, everything's fine, we've all made up, and we've hugged and kissed, and we're shaking hands and posing pictures again. And this could be that turning point to where, coming into the show, I still thought there was some kind of a shot that Young would be dealt. You know, we were actually going to talk about this very briefly, because we're all very, very tired of Michael Young, and I want to move away from this as soon as I can. But I thought there was about a 25% shot he would be traded this year. I think with this announcement, it's probably negative enough on the packages the Rangers were seeing in return to dangling Young out. Apologies for that. In return to dangling Young out there, that we can come pretty close to ruling out that anything's going to get done.
The Balcony's fault line just shifted, apparently.
I have a mic with a very shaky tripod. My apologies.
Might be too soon for an earthquake joke. Okay, let's do this. I know we're doing the 25-man, but I want to do this real quick. If I were to ask each of you for your one-word response to this scenario, what would it be? Michael Young gets traded tomorrow for a package that is fair for both teams. Your one-word response. Sam, you first.
What did we get? It's more than one word, but...
Yeah. You don't even care if it's fair. You want to know that... Do you want major league stuff, minor league stuff?
I think one major league guy, preferably a pitcher, who's not terrible, but not... I mean, you're not going to expect Neftali Feliz in return. And maybe a minor league guy. You're going to have to figure cash is going the other way as well. There's no way a deal gets done and you get any sort of serviceable player without money going the other way.
But what's your thought on what is your expression when you hear Michael Young traded? You know, like if it's fair, like you said, if it's what you're looking for, is it excitement? Is it whatever? Is it, you know, too bad, or what is it?
I think it's one of those of you knew this was coming. You think it's the best for both parties to move on. You know, it's business.
Sam to you?
I think it would have to be an exciting minor leaguer. That's the only way they could justify this, is to say we're comfortable with our major league options. We had an asset who we felt was maybe not replaceable, but somebody who we could get production. We could replace the production with somebody else's. So I guess, yeah, replaceable, without saying replaceable. We felt that this young minor leaguer is going to become something very soon, and we've made the deal. That being said, I don't think it's happening.
Are you looking at a salty type deal where you get like a Ramon Mendez or a Chris McGinnis?
I wouldn't expect even that much, no. I'd expect one high upside guy at the double A level, one fairly high upside guy at low A, something like that, if anything did go down. And again, the chances it does are very, very low. I'd say, you know, 10%, somewhere around there.
I mean, a below Ramon Mendez is, I mean, Ramon Mendez was like a 15, number between 15 and 20 at Red Sox prospect.
You know, the thing is, he's not bad, and he can throw 98, 99.
He has a very, very good fastball. I mean, I've read some...
His prospect status isn't all that high, but you can see there's something to dream on there.
I'm just saying, if you're taking less than Ramon Mendez for this, I mean, that's just... it's like...
Yeah.
Especially since now that they kind of have at least got on speaking terms.
Well, look at it this way. I mean, they've been trying to do this for a long time, and things were toxic between the two parties here. They weren't talking to each other. They were, you know, Young was calling out Daniels to the media. Things were not friendly in the least. The Rangers were making legitimate and, you know, real intents to trade Michael Young. Absolutely nothing went down. At this point, you can't really hypothesize that they're going to get a decent package for him.
Yeah, they're not going to, I don't think, until maybe in June or July, or maybe even May, when if a team that's supposed to be a big-time contender has a second baseman, third baseman, first baseman, totally just bite it, and they're done for the year, and Michael Young is hitting somewhere around 290 or higher, and he's been productive, then he's out the door.
A team to watch, and I think this will be fully dependent on how Chase Utley is in a couple weeks. I think the Phillies are a team to watch.
I would have said that, except that it seems like they don't care about cutting payroll anymore. You know, originally the reason I thought the Phillies would be a team to watch is because they were going to want to get rid of Joe Blanton's salary. And
I'd rather have Roy Oswalt, but that's me.
Well, sorry, I'd rather have Roy Halladay.
Well, they're Roy Oswalt, yeah.
I mean, I'd rather have Felix Hernandez. Come on, let's bring Nolan
Ryan. Sell the farm!
Yeah. Okay, let's get back to the 25-man. We've gone through the position players. Nobody disagrees. Realistic for this for opening day, or I know you've been jotting some notes down, I've got Wilson, Lewis, Holland, Harrison, and Bush, judging that Tommy Hunter's on the DL. What do you think about the starting five?
Yeah, Wilson, Lewis, my rotation is Wilson, Lewis, Holland, Slowey, and Harrison, actually. I'm going to go out there and say Kevin Slowey, who's actually been turned into a, you know, sort of a back-and-forth bullpen slash fifth rotation guy in Minnesota, and is probably available. I'm saying with Hunter's injury, that's somebody the organization could target. Slowey's got a fantastic strikeout-to-walk ratio, one of the best in the majors, over guys who have actually displayed any semblance of durability over the past few years. He's got huge, huge fly ball tendencies. He makes Tommy Hunter look like Brandon Webb. That's how I would phrase that. He doesn't know how to get ground balls. If his life depended on it, he would not have the ability to. That being said, he has a particular skill set which works very well to hitters without power. And that enough is takes him to the point where he's actually a pretty decent number three starter. I'm not sure why Minnesota values Nick Blackburn over him. I think that he's a guy who's going to be traded. And I think that's a guy who John Daniels and company could very could, you know, very realistically scoop up.
So basically you're saying he's very good against a team of Julio Borbones.
He would be Roy Halladay against a team of Julio Borbones. I'm just drawing.
So basically the entire Oakland lineup.
Yeah, I was gonna say we got Oakland. Okay, just put Slowey
and
against Oakland.
Seattle.
Yeah.
Seattle's a team of Joaquin Arias's compared to Oakland.
Slowey is replaced on a major league rotation. That's the bottom line. That's not. I'm not necessarily saying it's going to happen, but I think it makes a lot of sense.
What package do you see going the other way if we go after Slowey?
Not a huge one. You know, we'd probably send them a young pitcher of some sort. Not a Kirkman. You know, nobody like that. But I don't know. Maybe a Brigham. Somebody of that stature. A decent enough prospect, but it's one who's not really high upside above, you know, number three probability, and one who's not going to make an impact in the next year or two.
I'm pretty sure Parks would not be happy if you were giving up Brigham.
That's true.
Or Cole. I'm not happy to give up Brigham.
Yeah. And
he's got a name of a pitcher that should pitch in Texas. Jake Brigham.
Brigham, Whelan, somebody like that. I don't want to give up.
Cody Bukel. Is it Bukel? Yeah.
Yeah. But
well, he sounds like a swashbuckling pirate, though.
It kind of does.
Sam, your thoughts on that opening five. What's your opening five for your
opening five? Wilson, Colby, Holland, I guess Harrison. Yeah. We really don't have much choice, and I think Tommy Hunter's healthy. I think it's just he maybe didn't get warmed up good enough, tweaked it. Hopefully he's ready by opening day, but if he's not, I think I'm going to say Kirkman gets maybe a look. I don't know. But with him being optioned, I don't know if they want to burn an option just for him to maybe get a chance. So
you know what? If he's hurt, I would not be shocked if they did. You know?
Yeah. I mean, but I don't know how – which I realize the ballpark is friendlier to left-handed pitchers, but do you want a rotation of four left-handers?
Yeah.
That would be Wilson, Holland, Kirkman, Harrison. That's four lefties.
In a playoff series, that's probably not ideal. But when you're playing in the regular season and you change teams every 3 or 4 days, I think it's less of a deal.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. But, I mean, that would be unheard of. Now, if it was, you know, there might be a deal that comes down somewhere, maybe a Slowey. The one thing that would scare me about Slowey, and it's not so much scare me, but I think you could see the Cardinals maybe make a play for him. They've been decimated with injuries. So, I mean, they need another guy, and I haven't been able to keep up with their camp like I would like to.
Yeah.
Also, a side note, the game starts in a minute now. It should be on TXA, I would assume.
Yeah, TXA 21 tonight.
And you get to see the wonderful and great Dave Bush pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty excited.
In all honesty, Slowey does make a lot more sense for a team with a bigger ballpark.
Yeah.
And it being the National League.
Yeah. But if the Rangers make a decent enough offer and they're the first team to do so, yeah, he could end up here.
Okay, real quick, over-under, how many days, if Dave Bush is a starting pitcher for the Texas Rangers, how many starts until an opposing team's fan brings a sign that says, trim down the Bush?
God. You know, I've actually got an anecdote about that, because all of last week during spring break, I was working at TSA 21, shameless plug, doing pregame shows, part of the coverage. And I was working with one particular producer who was so completely, you know, overcome and amused by Dave Bush's last name, which, you know, it's hard to believe, seeing as we're growing in a state with two presidents coming from here named Bush. And we drive on
a
tollway.
Yeah, but you can't make fun of the president's last name, though.
Yeah. And yet he felt the need to, over the course of an hour, make, you know, I lost count at 8 jokes about Dave Bush's last name. It just kept, there was no end to it. It just gave me such tired head.
Does he have the humor level of Derek Holland here? Or, no, I think that's below Derek Holland's humor.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
well,
fart jokes are classic.
At least Derek Holland incorporates pop culture into his humor, no? He'll go with the fart jokes and...
Yeah, I was going to say, he might be the one that brings the sign that says trim down the bush. I mean,
Yeah.
Only if he's not in the rotation, though.
But, you know, he'll put Will Ferrell's face on the sign or something to incorporate.
Yeah,
you know,
like a T-shirt.
Popular appeal.
All right, bullpen. I've got Brett Tomko, Darren O'Day, Mark Lowe, Darren Oliver, Oliver Rhodes. Oliver Rhodes? Is that his name? I don't know.
Yeah, Arthur
Rhodes.
But it's an old style name, so.
Alexi Ogando and Neftali Feliz.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got, Orr?
I'm going with Feliz, Ogando, Oliver Rhodes, Pedro Strop, who has been lighting people up, has fantastic stuff, and I think he's primed to break out at the major league level. Darren O'Day, and drum roll, please, Dave Bush.
Hey, there we go. We made it.
I think Mark Lowe is going to be optioned to AAA with, you know, a sprained ass or something, you know, similarly tenuous and questionable.
Rich Harden treatment.
Yeah, to work on his stuff or his gluteus.
Sam,
not Rich Harden.
Sam, what's your bullpen look like?
Feliz closing. Day, Rhodes, Oliver, Strope. How many is that? I've been looking at a bank rec all day, so numbers are all running together.
And Bush. All right,
No, Dave Bush.
Tomko.
Yes, Tomko. Dave Bush will not be on my roster.
Mason Tobin.
I like the option of Tobin. We'll go with him.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, look, I there's something to be said for keeping him long term.
And if we try to keep him, I see us giving up a hamburger for him.
Yeah.
We got in exchange for Eddie Gordado in 2008.
You know, I kind of want to do a hamburger around, though, just for the sheer number of puns that it will generate. And I don't know if it makes me wish Josh Lumen was still around.
How many puns can you have with smoke? Tons.
Yeah, we're gonna smoke a hamburger.
Hey, no
puns.
I was gonna use Bush there, but it was gonna get very, very dirty very, very fast. So
yeah, let's just stop right
this
there.
This
is
the man show.
we're kind of off on the breaks though, but it is time for another break. Past time, we'll try to get back on schedule here. It's the second edition of Sam's Music Day, but Sam, first of all, you've got to give out the URLs.
All right, the website is www.rangersfanradio.com. Check us out. It's good stuff. Looks cool. We'll have some special updates probably. Check out our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/rangersfanradio. And our Twitter, which is twitter.com/rangersfanradio. Check us out. If you got questions, comments, concerns, want to rant, have any good fart jokes, that's a shout-out to Derek Holland. We want to hear jokes. Send them to our Gmail address, which is rangersfanradio@gmail.com. If you just need someone to talk to, don't contact us. We're not licensed psychiatrists or therapists. So, yeah.
We'll talk to you, but don't wake up with your girlfriend because we say it too, necessarily.
Yeah. But we're not liable for any marriage smashings that happen.
We leave that to one man and one man only.
The mysterious man that will never come on our show. I'm not even going to say who he is, but he still won't come on our show. Or, what are we talking about next?
Coming up next, we're going to get into a little more about what we're going to see this year. Prediction on possible call-ups throughout the year. Our breakout prospects. And we're going to maybe reprise the game that we created late last week. And that's a very popular and, you know, purposely ambiguous pick your pee.
That'll go great. All right.
Which we select from two pitchers, but yes, we'll keep that ambiguous.
I do not remember this segment.
I think this was during the last segment when you hopped off the medication overwhelmed you.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Second song of the day from Sam's pick, which is the Black Keys, is Remember When from Attack and Release. It's going to be a quick break. We'll be right back on Rangers.
Side B, not side A. Side A is too slow.
Did I say side A?
No, he didn't say which side, but it's side B.
Oh, that's side B. We'll be back. We'll be right back on Rangers Fan Radio Live.
One ball, two strikes, two outs. 6-1, the Rangers lead in the top of the ninth. Belize in the high set. Here comes the pitch. Breaking ball, strike three, call! The Rangers are going to the World Series!
Now back to Rangers Fan Radio Live with your host, Patrick McCullough.
Score update.
And we're back on Rangers Fan Radio Live. Real quick, let's shoot it over to Sam, who's going to update the score from the ongoing Rangers game, which is probably, what are we, only like 10 minutes into this thing? Sam, what's going on?
Dave Bush has already given up a run, so it's 1-0 San Diego. He grounded, Jorge Cantu had an RBI. You've done more in spring training with San Diego than you did the entire time as a Ranger against the Rangers.
Just, productive. He's really, really productive.
And you're having selective memory here. Who had?
I know won us the division, but he still sucked outside of that game.
Hey, go ahead, RBI.
Horrible goatee.
His horrible
I already
hair.
Had a mustache and looked like a conquistador. Horrible I haven't hair. Seen this.
In similarly nondescript and unimportant news, the Timberwolves lead the Mavericks 29-26.
All right, have people
how I feel about Ranger spring training score updates.
People need to give up on the Mavericks. It's over this year.
It's the end of the inning.
That's yet to be determined, but we'll discuss that at a later point.
Chad Tracy is playing first base, so there's three outs. I'll give a quick lineup. My phone's being slow, so bear with me. We have Kinsler at second, Anderson at short, Hamilton at center field, Beltre at third, Young at DH, Napoli at catcher. That ought to be a fun chore. Doug Deeds in right field. There's a candidate we could have make the roster.
Doug Deeds.
Yeah, he's in the rotation. They're also moving Nelson Cruz there because of need.
He has a laser cannon.
His hamstrings couldn't handle it.
We have Chad Tracy at first, Butler in left field. I'm not even quite sure who Butler is, but he's hitting 500, so who knows where he'll end up.
Did we trade for Billy Butler today? Did I miss that?
Oh, God, I think
Billy Butler in left field will be worse than Vlad in right field.
Wait, watch it. Watch what you wish for, buddy. Watch it.
You almost said it'd be worse. I didn't wish for it.
Be like Adam Dunn in left field, which is actually something that's happened over the last 3 years because the NL doesn't have a DH, and that's a wonderful rule.
You know, there's a great...
Get with times, NL!
Not to get all nerdy on you, but in the new edition of MLB The Show 2011, they've adjusted the franchise setting so that you can give the NL and the AL DH.
You can also make Neftali Feliz a 99 across the entire statistical categories for
him. He comes programmed already for being.
I also made CJ have 6 pitches. I don't know how that happened.
Did you give him the what was Daisuke's pitch? Did you give him the
gyro ball? It is not on there. I looked specifically for the gyro ball.
I remember when Daisuke actually broke into the majors, the gyro ball was in the video games for like 1 year. And it was basically like a screwball.
It's a circle change or a screwball.
Yeah, and people realized that nobody actually threw the gyro ball and they took it out of the game a year later.
It's so stupid.
Well, look, who throws a circle? I mean, who throws a fork ball? I've seen it on guys, but I never hear anybody mention a fork ball anymore.
It's just a big sinker. I mean, you could say that you know, a guy like
Brandon Webb
throws a hard, you know, diving sinker like that, and that kind of works like a fork ball. They just put it in the game because people have heard the word fork ball before, so let's you know, give them the option if they don't want a fork ball. Why are we talking about MLB The Show? All right. Back to the Rangers.
Fine.
What do you guys want to talk about?
Sean Marion has 12 points. No, I'm kidding.
You want to talk about the Mavs? Let me tell you about...
No, we're not talking Mavs. This is not a Mavs talk.
I couldn't tell you the first thing about the NBA this year except get ready for a lockout.
That's
and the Spurs are going to be the number one seed. There we go.
I'll say this. Anytime a franchise in a city like New Orleans has to be bought out by the league and there's not a single ownership group that wants to invest and buy the Hornets, which they could probably get for like $70 million right now.
I think Mark Cuban's going to buy the Hornets and then just trade Chris Paul to Dallas for J.J. Barea and the expiring contract to Caron Butler.
That'd be epic. No, it's just...
What if you just combine the rosters? I think that might be a better move.
Yeah.
25-man team. Yeah, I mean, it's just the state of the NBA is sad. It really is. It's just... No one likes the NBA playoffs. Outside of NBA fans, no one likes watching the NBA playoffs. The finals are boring because it's the same teams every year. There's just no excitement. They need steroids.
Golden State.
They need excitement. Like MLB used steroids to get back in love with, get people back involved in the game after the lockout. The NBA is going to need the same thing. They need their steroids.
I've got their steroids. Jump ball.
Jump ball.
It is a win-win
sport of all time.
You get high jumping and you get the potential to tackle somebody. It's like the XFL but more bouncy. I don't know.
We need to play tackle basketball.
Not that the NFL needs to get any more popular, but I always thought the coolest part of the XFL was the start, where like they put the ball at midfield and the teams ran at each other.
Hamilton just tied the game with a home run.
Yay! Another notable news, Kemba Walker has 34 points.
Can we do the home run call?
I'm just going to keep doing this anytime you have a spring training update. I don't care anymore. It's over. We've made all the necessary decisions. The roster's set.
Hey, we're informative here.
Kemba Walker has 34 points.
Let's talk about the Rangers. I don't even know what we said we were going to talk about. I'm just going to pick something off this list here. let's talk about the guy who's been just kind of sucking it right now, which is Nelson Cruz. And let's talk about the contrast to him, the guy that's been killing it, and that's Ian Kinsler.
Yeah.
If you talk to people who have been out and surprised, Ian Kinsler has finally embraced the idea that you don't have to pull every single ball that's thrown to him. He doesn't have to hit home runs. He can hit line drives. He can walk. He can take pitches, et cetera, et cetera. And that's led to him being a dynamic hitter. Fantastic. That's great. And we've got him on a really affordable contract if he's going to be producing and playing defense like he has. He's a great player for us. Then we've got Nelson Cruz, who, by all reports, the timing is off. His mechanics are off. He's not trusting his swing. He's not taking the right pitches. He's swinging at stuff out of the zone. He's kind of trying to be too much of Vlad, you know, not realizing that no one can be Vlad except for Vlad. And it looks really bad. You know, I every time I read something about Nelson Cruz, I think this is not good.
Well, we also got to remember, he didn't play winter ball this year, and that's the first winter he hadn't played in a while. So I think he's coming around. He was hitting the ball good yesterday in the game I was listening to.
But winter ball is like the equivalent of hitting off of a tee. You've got a bunch of young guys who throw one pitch, fastball, and they work in the middle of the zone.
And 35-year-olds who throw one pitch, curveball.
Yeah, or
Ruben Mateo roaming center field, which is just sad.
Yeah, you know, it's. I mean, maybe for focus, you know. I don't know. It's. What do you guys think? Or what do you think about Nelson and Ian and their kind of contrasting springs?
I don't worry about Nelson. Nelson's proven to me over the last 2 years that he's got what it takes. I mean, regardless of how he starts, regardless of how he finishes spring training, Nelson Cruz is a big league hitter. I'm not going to doubt him based on spring training. It's obviously not a positive indicator, but it's not something that I'm going to really stay up late at night thinking about. I think Sam made a legit point about winter ball. I think Cruz, you know, overhauled his training regimen over the winter more than people are really realizing. I mean, there was a lot of talk about just how much he did to change, just how much he did to take it easy, to forestall the injuries that have plagued him over the past 2 years. Cruz is going to be fine, I think. You know, he was a phenomenal, phenomenal player last year. If he'd stayed healthy, he would have had a season almost as good as Hamilton's. This guy was absolutely knocking the ever-living crap out of the ball for the entire year, while playing great defense, while being a smart base runner, while doing everything you could have possibly asked from him. On the list of concerns, Cruz isn't up there. On the other hand, does Kinsler's positive spring do a lot for me? Honestly, not really.
He stayed healthy, though.
Yeah, and that's positive. It's more than he gave us last year. But Kinsler's the sort of guy who, he'll give you different things every year. And that's partly based on what you ask of him, and it's partly based on whatever the hell he feels like. There was, you know, 3 years ago, he was a line drive machine. 2 years ago, he decided he wanted to pretend he was, you know, Frank Thomas and just do nothing but walk and hit the ball in the air.
And then decide he wanted to embrace his inner Ricky Henderson.
Yeah, last year he went all leadoff hitter and lost his power. And in the playoffs, he sort of got to see the best of all worlds. Do I think that he can replicate that over a full season? Well, if he does, he'll be, you know, one of the 10, 15 best players in baseball. Do I see that happening? No. If it does, it would give the Rangers a phenomenal, huge advantage. The chances of it taking place, though, are just minimal because Kinsler doesn't have that kind of those physical tools. Remember, we're not talking about a guy who was ever considered super toolsy. And everything he's done for us has been kind of a surprise. Projecting him to be a Chase Utley type player is dangerous. You know, we don't want to look that far ahead. Be happy if he's a good leadoff hitter. He very likely will be. But don't expect him to hit, you know, 320 with a 400 on base and a 520 slug.
Yeah. I mean, Kinsler wasn't even expected to make the major league. Let's remember that. He was drafted 15th or 30th round. Wasn't it 30th round?
Yeah, very late, yeah.
I mean, he moved around to avoid Justin Pedroia. It seemed like everywhere he went, there was Pedroia. I think we're going to have a good year from Kinsler. I think he's matured. He seems focused. I think he got a taste of what it's like to be on the stage and on the stage of the World Series. He wants to be there again. I'm not worried about Nelson. He's proven that he's a good hitter. He went on the DL 3 times last year, came back, hit the tar out of the ball. I think my concern would maybe be more the amount of time our first base DH combos are going to get, and maybe more so the bullpen. I'm a little concerned about O'Day that he hadn't found his arm slot, but he's still got a week. I also don't think Mark Lowe makes the roster. I think he's optioned to AAA to work it out. He has good stuff. there's no question that he does. It's just he doesn't have it right now. So
yeah,
that's it's going to be interesting to see who's standing when the final cuts are made. Roster is, in far as position players and the rotation, it's set, but the bullpen, it's a free for all.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I agree with you. It's the Nelson Cruz thing is not, it's not that big of a deal. You know, it's frustrating from a standpoint of you'd like to see all of your guys hitting on the same, you know, the kind of hitting on all cylinders this part of time. But it, you know, I guess what's most frustrating is now Michael Young is being bumped up into that five spot, which I think is just a bad idea. I can't see that ending that well. But I don't know. Let's go over one more thing. Mitch Moreland or Michael Young, you know, both guys are going to be splitting some time at DH, first base. Which one of those guys do you think you're going to see more out of in terms of batting average, on base, slugging, ops, and home runs, RBIs? Or to you first?
I'm going to pick Moreland. It's not because I'm particularly down on Young. I think that, you know, the natural course of biology is going to take its effect. You know, Young's not the same player he used to be. He's going to experience a regression. It's not necessarily going to be a huge regression. It's a slow regression. But he's not, you know, a 300 hitter anymore, as people keep trying to convince me he is. He's not going to take a lot of walks. And when all you can do is DH, you're not going to, you know, you're just not going to be a great player. Moreland is probably a better first baseman than Young right now. Moreland is going to take more walks than Young. Moreland probably has as much power as Young. And he's, you know, likely to hit for a very similar average. Over the long haul, I think Mitch Moreland is going to be a better player for this team this year than Michael Young will. And again, not an indictment of Young. Young does have some ability. I think if he had any possibility of playing second base here, if the team were willing to tolerate a subpar third baseman like it had in the past 2 years, Young would be a more valuable player than Moreland because of the positional flexibility. But as a pure first baseman / DH, give me Moreland.
Yeah, I'm going with Moreland here. I think he gets most of the time at first base, with some off days coming at DH, maybe some days in right field. He's going to be an interesting player to watch. He's going to give you much better defense than Young at first base, since this is Young's first go-around at first, and we heard him drop the ball. And breaking in first baseman is always a tougher process. I don't know why, it just is. So I think Moreland's going to give you about the same power. He's going to walk more. He's not going to strike out a ton. He's just going to work the count and be the kind of guy you would need in this lineup, somebody who's going to work the count. Yeah, he may strike out, but he might have taken 10 pitches out of the pitcher, which there's no correlation between pitches taken and on-base percentage, but it's 10 pitches. So he's going to get professional at-bats, I think, and that's sometimes an overused term, but I think Moreland's going to exemplify that. And I think you're going to see a fair share of Napoli, too. Not against righties, but lefties for sure.
Yeah. Which is going to cut the Young time some. I mean,
yeah.
Ron's been talking about the fact that he's never going to play Napoli over Young, but I think that's BS. As soon as he realizes just how much Napoli rakes left-handers, to the extent to which his splits are divided, he'll become a little more comfortable with starting him over Young in a situation where they absolutely need to cram to hit a lefty, a guy like Lester, a guy
Buckle.
Like Sabathia. Yeah.
And the interesting thing to watch with Napoli and Young is how are the egos going to go? Napoli was a full-time player last year after Kenyon Morales went down. And now that we've found out, Kenyon Morales isn't going to be ready for opening day.
Yeah, it's delicious, isn't it?
how do the Angels feel now? Of course, the same. Somebody could say, well, if the Rangers still have Frankie Frank, Feliz wouldn't be closing. Frankie Frank's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is one of those deals you have a chance. Frankie Frank was a great player for the Rangers. He had his moments, but he was a serviceable player who was probably one of the top five relievers from let's say, May till August, until he got hurt again. The guy was lights out. So, you know, this is a guy that, I mean, he's good, but when he's hurt, he is a worthless commodity. So this is going to be interesting. I think Napoli probably has more value to the Angels, but no, they had to have Vernon Wells. So enjoy paying him $20 million a year, as well as paying Gary Matthews Jr. $12 million, and Torrey Hunter's getting $18 million. Does that sound about right?
15 to 18, somewhere.
Yeah, so have fun paying a 41-year-old Gary Matthews Jr., who's not playing baseball, a aging Torrey Hunter, and Vernon Wells, who plays center field, not very well. We'll just go with that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you have a defensive whiz in Bourgeois, Borges.
Yeah, both. Well, you know, whatever. We're from Texas. We can
Borges, yeah.
We have our own language. Okay, real quick, we got to go to a break, but I want to go ahead and take a call. We usually don't take calls from from female listeners, but it looks like we have a female listener who's out in San Francisco.
Or some pretending to be.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see how manly her voice is. This is supposed to be Claire in San Francisco. Claire, go ahead and ask your question. You're on the air.
Hi, so am I the first female caller you guys have ever gotten?
I think so.
You are. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to go back through the logs, but unless somebody is speaking very, very well, I believe so.
This is pretty exciting. All right, well, I've got a question for you guys. So I'm actually a Rangers fan stuck out here in California, and all I get to hear about all day and night is how the Giants are going to win the World Series again and the Rangers suck. So I'm wondering if you guys can just fill me in on what you think is going to happen with the World Series this year and how I can combat these Giants fans.
I think the Red Sox are going to win 110 games to bowl over anybody in their path. No, not 110, but the Red Sox are the best team in baseball. They're probably going to be there at the end of the line. As much as I love the Rangers, as much of a homer as I absolutely will admit to being, Red Sox are probably going to be there at the end. Giants got a good team. Probably make the playoffs. I don't know if I'd make them the prohibitive favorite in the NL. If I had to pick right now, I'd probably go, you know, Red Sox or Phillies, with the Braves trending there with, you know, the, you know, all sorts of possibilities emerging. But Red Sox over Phillies would be my pick right now.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I think if we look at the Maple Street Press, we've got the Rangers beating the Phillies in the World Series. And the Red Sox are too good to be true. The Phillies are too good to be true. The Yankees have announced that A.J. Burnett's going to be their number two starter. You know, it's like this is wide open. We can
don't forget the Yankees have Bartolo Colon.
Yeah, it's just it's bad. So let's give her some pointers real quick, and then we got to get a break.
My prediction in.
So pointers about the Giants, things to say. Okay, Brian Wilson's beard is dyed, so we can break that myth.
He thinks he's Zach Galifianakis, and he's not. He's not even funny.
Yeah.
At least Galifianakis can pull off a real beard.
Let's see. Your third baseman tries to intimidate the opposing team by calling himself the Panda. Okay.
Pandas are lazy.
Sloth-like. We know what it's like having a sloth at third base.
Sloths are also smaller and lighter weight than a panda.
Is this true? Yeah.
Probably more likely to play the position capably.
That's all I got. I don't got anything else.
Their ace is a pothead.
Tim Lincecum's fastball keeps getting slower, and he's not going to be an ace for much longer.
That's right.
Is it reaching Eddie Gordado levels? Because I think it is.
I would love to see that sign, that intimidating fan sign. Tim Lincecum, your fastball is getting slower, and you won't be an ace for much longer.
Eventually, you'll be merely a number two. What up?
You'll be Eddie Gordado.
You will only make $10 million a year.
I mean...
Lick your tears.
When you hit free agency, you'll only throw 87. I'm sorry.
Brendan Webb.
He throws faster than Dave Bush. Oh, my God. We're back to Dave Bush.
No!
Okay.
But, yes, right, World Series. Rangers-Braves.
Rangers-Braves. All right. I'm
Philly flaps.
I like
Boston.
God damn.
Another earthquake.
So that was Patrick being mad because Dave Bush is pitching in the Rangers rotation again on the fifth start.
Yeah, I just punched straight through my monitor, actually. Okay, so we got to think we're way behind breaks. We got to take a break because we actually do. Next is a serious segment.
Thank you to our caller.
Yeah, thank you to our.
We love callers. They make our lives so much better.
A real caller. That was not anybody faking. That was not a friend that I had calling. That is an actual female caller.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know. That wasn't me. I don't know who she is. She was a woman. I'm having people text me saying, "There's no way that a woman actually called the show." That is the appeal of Rangers Fan Radio. Cross country from San Francisco, a woman calls our show to ask us how we can help her make fun of Giants fans. I mean, that is epic.
Yeah.
Anyway,
afterwards, I'm sure she'll message us on Facebook after adding us, as so many have done since I started this show.
Yeah.
Very strangely. To ask about her boyfriend situation, as we've advised people to do in the previous segment.
Yeah, she's definitely a star.
Help us help you.
Yeah.
That's what we're about here.
Okay, it's time for a break. We're way behind. I'm just going to throw to it. Coming up next, special announcement with special guests, tons of good stuff. For now, it's the third song from Sam's music pick, The Black Keys, and it's Ocean and Streams from Attack and Release, another great song. We'll be right back on Rangers Fan Radio Live. Stick with us.
By you and the pitch to Guerrero. Swung on and a shot up the alley left center field. Long run for Granderson. Still going. Can't get it. It's off the wall. One run home. Here comes Hamilton. Diggins with a play. Here comes the throw. Jeter holds the ball. It's a double for Guerrero. And the Rangers lead 3-1 as the intentional walk backfired this time.
Now back to Rangers Fan Radio Live with your host, Patrick McCullough.
We are back on Rangers Fan Radio Live. Back here, Patrick McCullough, the host. Sam and Orr are taking a quick little break while we do kind of an important, fun announcement here. We've been teasing this across the interwebs the last couple days. People have been wondering and texting me and calling me, what's happening, I want to know. You know, and again, we owe this to you guys, because you guys got our name out there, you talk about the show, and you're the reason we got this done. But essentially what I can announce is myself, along with some other guys, some other gentlemen who I'm going to be bringing on to this show in just a second, are going to be heading to Round Rock next week to be part of what's being called the Chevrolet Line Drive to Round Rock. Great name, right? Sounds like a PR guy thought of it. What it essentially is, it's a round table of Rangers bloggers, who I would like to refer to as Rangers experts, and we're going to get together, we're going to watch the game. After the game, we're going to get together with some fans and some video crew people, and we're going to talk about the Rangers, and we're going to talk about what's been happening and talk about the different problems and situations that the Rangers have been facing, and just kind of give a season preview, and it's going to be a fun thing. We'll go through a little bit more details in just a sec, but I want to get to the lineup, because I think the cast is what really makes this whole thing worth it. Starting off with the guy on the top, and I'm going to say he's on top, because in my viewpoint, he's the most tenured of all of these Rangers bloggers. I mean, he's not the Newberg. I'll say that. He's not the Newberg. He's not the Godfather. But of the blogger types, the guys who run the websites, if you haven't read RangerFans.com, then you don't know Texas Rangers bloggers and Texas Rangers bloggers baseball. And I'm happy right now to bring in Joe Siegler, who is the happy patron of RangerFans.com. Joe, thank you for joining me for the first time on Rangers Fan Radio Live. And I appreciate you coming on.
Happy blogger, huh?
Exactly. We're always happy bloggers, right?
Picture up the top of my site makes me look happy.
Exactly. So I wanted to just kind of ask you first, how excited are you about this kind of unique and cool event that we're going to be doing next week?
Oh, it's pretty cool. Actually, I was thinking about going down there, and I thought, nah, you know, I'm not going to bother with the hassle and all that. And then this opportunity came up, and I'm like, you know, why not? That'll be fun going down, especially the drive down will be cool too, you know, just talking about it without even seeing the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it'll be cool, man.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
I'm looking forward to it.
That's the thought I've had, is we're going to talk so much about the Rangers in the 12 hours leading up to the game, we're not going to, you know, or 8 hours leading up, we're not even going to, by the time the round table comes around, we're just going to be like, well, you know, we've really covered everything already.
Yeah, that. We already talked about that. Let's go home.
Yeah,
let's go to the bar.
All right, the next gentleman I want to bring in here, a little bit less known, but if you're a fan of Lone Star Ball, which I think about 60% of our audience is, you know him, you love him. He's the Irishman. In real-world terms, he's known as Josh McMurray. And online names, he's Irish P1. Irish, welcome onto the show for the first time also, and congratulations on this great event. And I ask you the same question. How excited are you about getting ready to take part in this kind of unique and really fun event next Wednesday?
Do all these great names in this lineup make me the Dave Bush of the show or of the roundtable?
You're not that bad. Don't bring yourself down that far.
Well, thank God you did that great build-up saying all these great bloggers, and then you throw my name in there. I'm afraid there might be a mutiny or something. They're like, wait a minute. No, this event, I'll be honest with you, it kind of came from out of nowhere. I guess we can go ahead and drop his name now. The genius behind all this, Chris Wilson, the guy that's been emailing us probably for the past month now. The random email just came across, and I'll be honest with you, the first time I really thought it was just like some kind of scam or something. So I had to I kind of had to call in some of the Lone Star Ball guys, Chris and Robbie and a bunch of them. I asked them. I said, did you get this email too? And they said, yeah, it's legit. So I mean, as soon as I got confirmation from them, I free car, hotel, and game ticket, I'm jumping in.
Yeah, it's an incredible opportunity. And I mean, I could say, you know, I think I could say on Chris's behalf, they picked you because you've kind of got a interesting take on every item. And I think that's why every single one of these guys, and we'll bring in the third member of the team here in just a second, why each one of us was selected, we each kind of represent a different voice on these different topics. Joe, you've been doing this for, you know, however many years. I don't even want to know. 7 years? 10 years?
Longer than that. I started the site in December of 1998.
Woo!
Wow.
I didn't even have internet then.
Oh, no, they did. I was doing websites even before that, man. I mean, go back to 1995.
Was that 33K or a 56K modem back then?
No, it was still dial-up modems back then and DOS BBSs and, oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Floppy disks. All the
Sony
good stuff.
Just released their last floppy disk, too, for what it's worth.
The days of the A drive, God bless them.
Or they're the B drive.
Oh, dear Lord.
Okay, so we've got Irish P1 in here, otherwise known as Josh McMurray. The third, and I guess I should say fourth, I should count myself, fourth member of the team that's going to be going down, if you search Rangers blogs, you're going to find the Newberg Report, you're going to find Rangers fans, you're going to find Lone Star Ball, you're going to find Ranger Fan Radio, you're going to find Rangers Podcast in Arlington, you're going to find Baseball Time in Arlington, you're going to find everything. And one of the new ones that's kind of popped up, but I love their content, is Nolan Wrighton, which is part of a larger corporation that supports fan blogs. There's a couple people on there that work and do different articles, and it's a lot of news stuff with some basic opinion commentary built in, but it's really quality. It's not over the top. You know, it's really foundational. And one of the guys who writes some of that content is John Collender, who's also going to be joining us right now. John, thank you so much again, first time on the show. Thank you for coming on. And you get the same question as everyone else. How excited are you about this opportunity next week to head down to Round Rock and watch the AAA team face off against their minor league compadres, or major league compadres, I should say?
Well, thanks for having me on, for one. I'm super, super excited. Stacy, actually, she's the lead blogger over at Nolan Wrighton, and she wasn't able to go on the trip, so she passed it on to me. So we're a newer Rangers blog, and I'm an even newer blogger. I've been a Rangers fan since I was 5 years old and went to the ballpark, you know, forever ago, and I really started following him in college in 2003 when I lived in Arlington. So I'm a big fan, been a big fan for a long time, and just recently started blogging. I'm really, really excited to go, really excited to meet you guys and get to hang out and talk baseball. I like the other guys, I thought about going too. I actually am going to go to the Frisco Round Rock exhibition on the April 5th, and I'm going to try to go to a couple games opening week, but yeah, I'm really, really excited to get down there and get to see the last tune-up before everything gets going on April 1st.
All right, somebody own up. Who was it?
That was me.
Or what the fuck?
Oh, me.
I was muted, so it was not me.
I tell you about the mute yourselves, and you're throwing up like dance tunes here. I'm trying to do an interview. All right.
I'm Church of Christ. I can't dance.
All right, we can sing
for you.
No.
We now officially have a group of the show.
Does my case cosplay Rebecca Black Friday?
Oh, God, no, please.
I'm taking you. Poor Sam, I'm cutting you off. God. All right, so Joe, Josh, and John, back to you guys. First of all, let's go through the details so everyone knows. Again, they're calling this the Chevy Line Drive to Round Rock. It's Chevy's Driving the Heartland kind of PR tour is sponsoring this kind of getting to know your baseball thing. And they're having us go down to this exhibition game, do a roundtable where certainly you guys are welcome to come out, and I'll give the details in a sec. We're going to film it. We're going to throw it up on the web in a week or so, and I'll put the link on Rangers Fan Radio. And I'm sure that Joe and John will have it on their blogs also. Game starts at 6:30, and we'll probably be there sometime between 4 and 5. We'll be hanging out before the game. We'll be there during the game. If you know Round Rock, if you know where they play, we're in section 121. Feel free to come by and say hello. We'll just be sitting, chilling, eating some hot dogs, drinking some beer, watching the game. And then after the game, immediately after the game, we're not sure where yet, but we're going to set up kind of a table with some cameras, and they're going to film a roundtable. It's going to cover about 10 different topics, and we're going to talk. And we welcome you guys to come out. Come out, shake our hands, meet us, come watch. You know, this is just kind of a fun fan event that we want to get everyone involved in. And I think it should be fun. Again, I think I said it was sponsored by Chevy and all that roundtable stuff. It should be a great event. What I wanted to do was give you guys a short preview of kind of what we're going to be talking about, how we're going to cover these issues, you know, the different things that that we're going to talk about. So the first thing that I kind of wanted to go over was one of the things that we're going to talk about next Wednesday, which is Michael Young. And I, you know, Joe, I've read, you write about it. Irish, obviously, I know your opinion. John, your blog covered it. I'll start with you, Joe. This whole saga, we saw TR's blog post earlier this evening that said, it looks like they've had a couple meetings. Who knows what that really means in the grand scheme of things, but at least they're talking. What does this saga say to you about this organization, how they run the organization, how they treat their players, how they want to be seen by free agents? You know, how does this saga play into your mind going forward from just the day-to-day kind of back and forth and how it's going to affect the team?
I guess, thinking about that, I remember some years ago, which is about 10 years ago, the Rangers logo or their campaign was your friendly neighborhood team. And
oh, yeah.
I think that's kind of how they want to be perceived, yet it's like when there's trouble, it kind of wants to be, you know, let's do something that pushes it under the carpet. And while it hasn't been a distraction by all accounts I can tell, it's not like we're hearing about it every day. It's not like you heard about, you know, some players and other teams that have problems like that you hear about them constantly. We didn't hear a ton about it, yet it was still kind of out there. And I think this is more damage control. I suspect there probably is personal issues between the two principals there, and that's something we may never know and may not have the right to know, but still, how do I think it's going to play out? I don't know. It's hard to tell. I think it's just all manipulating perception of the situation. I don't think the issue itself has changed at all personally.
Yeah, and Josh, same question to you. It seems like maybe, you know, TR is indicating to us that maybe the bridge wasn't burned. It was just knocked down and we can build it back. Do you see that happening, or is this just the kind of thing that's going to fester for a while until either it gets resolved, which is either Michael leaves or John leaves?
The way I look at it, I kind of, with all the experts, you know, that we come into contact with on a daily basis, I kind of try to take the approach to this situation as kind of like the regular Joe fan. And what I mean by that is, as long as it doesn't affect the product on the field, I could care less what goes on behind the scenes. The way I've been looking at it, seeing the games that I have and listening to during the spring training, I think Michael's on a mission, and it's basically to prove not just Nolan or JD or any of his detractors wrong, but to prove to himself that he can still play, whether it be 130 or 140 games on a daily basis, still pull in 200 hits, still have a high batting average, and still do the job that he's been doing for the past however long it's been of his career, 12, 13 years. And as long as that does not affect the product that I'm seeing, I could care less what goes on behind. Now, do I think he's going to get traded, or do I think a bridge has been burned? We may never know that. I agree with Siegler on that. But if he's still producing, I'm a happy fan.
Yeah, absolutely. And over to you, John, finally. It's been interesting to see, as Josh said, how Michael's responded on the field, which I think is good to see that he's attacking the game. But at the same time, we also hear the statements that he makes like, well, I'm not really used to it, and I can't get in the groove, and it's hard to kind of develop some type of rapport with my teammates if I'm playing at different positions. How do you see this? Do you see this? Is it kind of him complaining more, or is this just his way of therapy? His way to tell people, I'm not happy about where I am, but I'm still going to play.
I don't know if it's necessarily him complaining more. We're hearing him complain more because we all have Twitter and Facebook. We've got every possible avenue. The second he says something, Andrew's going to say it.
Oh.
So we hear it, you know, five or six different times.
Go ahead, John.
So we hear it, you know, multiple times. And so Michael Young's been a guy who's always just going to come in there. He's going to get his work in, and he's going to be productive. I don't think it matters if he's going to be at first base if they want to put him at the DH, if he's going to play third, or, you know, I think really where his value is going to be this season is you know, when someone gets hurt, because it's inevitably going to happen, and he can sub in and you know, really be productive. Ron said, you know, he wants to keep his plate appearances and his at-bats, you know, at a consistent level, and I think that's going to happen. I don't think, you know, this is really going to end up being a big deal after all. I think it's going to be just the same as when Elvis came in and they moved him over to third. I think he's going to be quiet about it and get his work done. And I think, you know, we're just hearing more about it because everybody's got an avenue to tell us about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree that the blogs, the Twitter, everything, play this up, because you get the instant sound bites. That's all you hear. That's what gets reverberated. The talk shows talk about it, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, around the carousel we go. But, hey, that's the preview. That's the free preview, guys. We really want everyone – we got a lot of people that listen to the show and a lot of people who follow Joe, Josh, and John on the interwebs. Please, if you have some time, it's going to be it's going to be a great game, first of all. And then it's going to be a great event. Again, the name is this. It's this. I guess you go with the corporate here. Chevrolet Line Drive to Round Rock. Exactly. Yeah. And you gotta you know, feed, or what is it? Feed the hand that feeds you. Eat the hand that feeds you. I don't know. It's
no,
at.
Do not bite the hand that feeds you.
There you go. Chevy Texan at Chevy Texan is the Twitter account if you want to follow them. We'll get you more information about where everything's going to go up. But the basic thing here is, next Wednesday night at the Express Ballpark in Round Rock, Texas, which is, if you don't know Texas, just an hour north of Austin, we're going to be there at 6:30 for Rangers versus Express. I think it's going to be a great game. We look forward to seeing all of you there. Feel free to come stop by. Again, we'll be in Section 121 during the game. Don't know yet where we'll be after the game, but I'm sure all of us will put that out through our internet mediums. And that's it. It's time to say goodbye. Joe, it's been great to talk to you for this time, buddy. I can't wait for the road trip of the century starting next week. It should be fun. Yeah.
Hey, Salt Lick afterwards, buddy.
Yeah, no, people don't know this. We've got a whole day. We got an itinerary of things going on Thursday. I mean, Wednesday is just like the precursor to Thursday's jamboree of fun. It's going to be great. Joe,
It's the Rangers' cavalcade of bloggers.
That's right. Exactly. And we're just going to steamroll
everybody. It's like Hollywood Square has gone awry.
Which one of you is in the center square? Who's Paul Lind? You know?
I thought Whoopi was center square. Is Whoopi not center square?
Oh, that's old.
No,
that's
he's
new
going,
Hollywood
Squares.
I'm
not
old
yeah.
Hollywood Squares.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was born 1989. I'm not a fossil like some people. All right. I'm sorry.
I was doing BBSs before you were born, buddy.
I got to watch Alf when it was on the air, not just
in
the damn it.
That was harsh.
Did I just hear Alf?
Alf.
Alf?
All right. This is like Kevin Goldstein all over again. We're going to bring it back. All right, Joe Siegler first. The website is rangerfans.com. Go check it out if you haven't already. Joe, my good friend, it's going to be fun to take the ride next week. It's been good to talk to you. Everyone go check out rangersfans.com. Joe Siegler, thank you very much.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
Absolutely, Joe. And Josh at IrishP1, you can follow his Twitter at twitter.com/IrishP1.
I've also actually opened up a Tumblr page now, thank God. If you want to follow, it's tumblr.com/dailymomentofzen.
That sounds epic. All right, everyone go check it out. Tumblr.
That's like a CJ Wilson blog.
Yeah. Hey.
There you go. Resume.
All right, that's Josh McMurray, IrishP1. Josh, thanks for coming on. I look forward to doing this event with you next week.
All right, man. Take you later.
All right, John Collender from NolanWritin.com. That's Nolan, WRITIN.com. Thanks for coming on, my friend. I'll see you next week. I think John's gone.
He's gone.
He got offended when you told him people from before 1989 don't matter.
He dropped the ball in center field, so he got cut.
Oh, God. See, this is what happens when I bring six people onto the show. We've got less than a minute. All right, we got to say goodbye.
Party.
Or say goodbye to the people on the internet.
Awesome.
Later.
All right, Sam, say goodbye to the people on the internet.
No more Dave Bush.
Awesome.
All right, everybody, that's been Rangers Fan Radio for the night. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, Chevy line drive to Round Rock next Wednesday, Round Rock Express Stadium. We hope to see you all there. I am Patrick McCullough. As always, thank you for checking us out at RangersFanRadio.com, Twitter.com/RangersFanRadio, Facebook.com/RangersFanRadio, and drop us a line at RangersFanRadio@gmail.com. And, of course, subscribe on iTunes. Thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate the support. We will see you again in a couple weeks after opening day.
Viva the Greenberg!
Showing that.